Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the October OVR call. This is our last call of 2024. My name is Keetra Hill, and I'm the TPM VR Payments Manager, and I will serve as moderator for today's call. Before we begin with our agenda and presentation, I would like to advise you that this call is scheduled for 60 minutes and is being recorded and transcribed. So now let's go into our agenda. We've done welcome, so now next we'll go into logistics. After that, we'll have the fiscal year 25 cost formula and state verification and exchange system updates. Then we'll have VR updates and reminders. Next, VR helpline reminders. And then we'll have communication and outreach updates. And then we'll have our question and answer session. So next for our logistics. So this call is being recorded and transcribed. Post-call items will be available on the Your Ticket to Work website within the next few weeks. Participants are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. During the Q&A session, if you're joining by phone and you wish to ask a question, raise your hand utilizing star 5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. And then you'll press star 6 to unmute yourself. If joining on the MS Teams app, you want to click on the raise hand icon and the facilitator will provide access to audio to allow you to unmute your microphone. One thing to mention is that we have found on previous call that we received duplicate questions via the chat and allowed over the phone. So for this call, the chat feature is not available. So next. Next slide, please. Are we able to move to the next slide, please? Oh, sorry. Go back up one. I'm sorry. I didn't see that it switched. My apologies. So please do ask one question each time you are called upon by the facilitator. As always, any questions or comments that you have can be sent to the VR help desk. And any questions that we do not answer during this live event will be forwarded to the appropriate panelists for comment. Closed captioning is available for participants who join using the MS Teams application or utilizing the separate closed caption link provided. To turn on closed captions in Teams, go to More at the top of the MS Teams window and click Language and Speech. Next, select Turn on Live Captions. If using the linked option, you want to paste the link into your browser and it will open a separate window to view the closed caption options. Next slide, please. Thank you. Now we will receive some updates for the cost formula and the sieve system from Raquel Donaldson, the Senior Program Analyst and Vocational Rehabilitation Team with the Social Security Administration. Raquel, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Keetra. Just two quick reminders. The first one being in regards to our fiscal year 25 cost formula. Very excited that it is already out there to you all. If you have not seen, we did send an update in regards to when the deadline will be. The deadline has been moved till January 31st, 2025. That sounds funny, but 2025 is the deadline. And as always, if you know you're going to run into some issues with that deadline, please just shoot a quick email to me and I will definitely follow up with you as soon as I can in regards to extending whatever time you need. And I just want to thank the few VRs that did reach out to me, just pointing out the fact that some of your reports aren't due until the end of December, so it would pretty much be impossible for you all to submit your cost formula until you have that information completed. So thank you to everyone who did reach out to me. I appreciate it. I also want to say, this is really, really important, do not hold on to your claims. Even if you have not submitted your cost formula, do not hold on to the claims. Submit your claims as usual, especially if you know that the claim will have or does have 9 months of SGA. Submit them. when the technician goes to process the claim, they will see that the cost limit is needed and they will place it on hold, place it in diary for as long as it's needed. So you will never receive a 620 denial just based on the simple fact that we're waiting for your cost formula to come in. So again, do not hold on to your claims. Submit any claims that you know have the 9 out of 12 months of SGA ready to go. If you have questions about that, please send an email to the VR help desk and one of the analysts will respond to you as soon as possible. My last thought or question or whatever it is, SVES, that is your state verification and exchange system, SSAs. It provides all of the authorized state partners with the standardized method of SSM verification, Title II and Title 16 benefit information, and uniform data response. If you're running into any issues in regards to your system, this SVES system, just wanted to remind everyone that you do have what is called a regional data exchange coordinator. If you do not have this coordinator's information, again, please reach out to the VR help desk and we will provide you with that information. Everyone, every region, every VR has their own exchange based off of the region you're in. You have your own coordinator that can answer questions that SSA is not able to, or that the VR help desk is not able to answer. These DECs, as we call them, do work at Social Security. So again, if it's information that the VR help desk cannot answer, your DEC should be able to help you. That is all I have for today. I guess I'll talk to you all next year. Thank you so much. Turning it back over to Keetra.
Thank you for those updates on the cost formula and the CEF system, Raquel. Appreciate that. So next, we'll move into VR updates and reminders, and I'll be providing those. So first, we have the next slide, please. So first, we have the Gov delivery messages. So Social Security Administration communicates important information with service provider through the Gov delivery messages, and that's including the ticket portal issues and outages. As you can see to the right, on October the 2nd, that's when that fiscal year cost formula due date extension notification was sent out via Gov delivery. Please do save this email address to your safe senders list so that messages do not go into your spam or junk mail email boxes. That email address is ticket2work@subscriptions.ssa.gov. Next, the reconsideration policy change reminder. We have a few reminders in regards to that. Social Security did announce on February 1st, 2024, the VR agencies are only allowed to submit one reconsideration for the same VR period if the initial claim was denied due to earnings. If your claim is denied with the codes below, you should not submit another reconsideration. So we have denial code 200, which is work activity could not be established. So no earnings or no were not verified. Then 210, earnings below SGA. 215, earnings below blind SGA. 220, 8 months or less of SGA. 225, 8 months or less of blind SGA. 320, 9 months of SGA, but not within a 12-month period. 325, 9 months of blind SGA, but not within a 12-month period. And then lastly, 620, untimely filing. So next, if SSA denies a claim due to insufficient earnings, the VR has 365 calendar days from the date of the initial denial to submit a request for reconsideration for that claim to SSA. And then lastly, unless you have been given specific direction by SSA, VR agency should submit all reconsiderations via the ticket portal and not via email to the VR help desk. So next, the Vocational Rehabilitation Client Earnings Report, BRCER, file. Just a few reminders. The file does go out once per quarter, and the next file will be going out in November. If you have any general questions regarding the Verser file, please send those to the VR Help Desk. In that email, you want to include your PID, your provider ID, in the subject line or the body of the email. Next, for VR directory contacts and ticket portal users, you want to notify the help desk of the following staff changes, and that's changes to the contacts listed in the VR directory or VR staff with access to the ticket portal that retire or leave your agency. With that, you want to send a request to remove the individual's access to the portal. In that email, you want to include your PID in the subject line, and please remember to copy your regional coordinator. And as Renee mentioned, if you're not aware of who that is, you can send a notification or email to the help desk to inquire. So next, that is all for VR updates and reminders. Next, I'll hand it over to Sharday Jenkins, the provider help desk and document manager with TPM, and she'll give us the VR helpline reminders.
Thank you, Sharday.
Yep, thank you.
All right, next slide, please. Good afternoon. I'm going to be providing the VR helpline updates. So first is the VR helpline. Just a reminder, the VR helpline is available from 9 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The VRs may contact the VR helpline at 1-866-949-3687, and you want to select the option number 4 for assistance with the following inquiry types. Payment status for request for status of VR payment submissions, diary status, diary reasons and any additional actions and or required documentation, fax documentation, receipt confirmation of fax payment documentation, portal access, assistance with ticket portal access, and portal navigation, assistance with ticket portal navigation. If you are receiving any portal errors, these errors must be submitted via email. Next slide, please. VR email inquiry requirements. When submitting inquiries to the VR help desk, please remember to provide the following information: your VR PID number, claim reference number, beneficiary's full name and social security number, and all relevant details. Reminder, the VR agencies are approved SSA secure partners. Therefore, personally identifiable information may be sent between the state VR agencies and the helpline without encryption. Next slide, please. Employment verification and security awareness training. If you receive either of these announcements upon accessing the ticket portal, no action is required by you or your agency. You do not need to contact the helpline. SSA will take the required actions to ensure that all updates are completed prior to you losing any access to the ticket portal. Thank you. Roam legacy account transition. So any portal users with accounts that were created prior to September 2021, you are required to transition your account to either login.gov or ID.me. So if you get that notification, please take the required steps as soon as possible if you receive a request to convert your legacy account. Any accounts that have not been converted will eventually be deactivated, and the option to sign in with the legacy account will be removed. So please do not ignore that message. Thank you, and I'll pass it over to Derek.
Hi, this is Keitra, just to announce Derek. Derek is the Senior EN Development and Training Manager with TPM, and he'll be providing the communications and outreach updates. Derek, please go ahead.
Thank you, Keitra. Next slide, please. To start with our communications and outreach updates, we wanted to share with you an update regarding our new email address. In late 2024, many ticket program email addresses will be changing. I wanted to ensure that you're aware that the support@choosework.ssa.gov email address will be changing to ticket@ssa.gov. And as it says on the slide, we'll be sharing a Gov delivery message with this change and the other email address changes as soon as they become available. Next slide. We are very pleased to announce that we have created several new videos. These materials in the video format will be published in late 2024, so before the end of the year. And they are short videos promoting the ticket program and other work incentives, along with the services that are available through the program. The videos will be published on the Choose Work website and also on social media channels to include our YouTube channel. These titles include things like working while receiving disability benefits, presenting your best self to employers, and meet your employment team along with others. We encourage you, when these become available, to share them as appropriate in your networks to increase awareness of the ticket program. And today, we intend to share with you the overview of the Ticket to Work program video called What is Ticket to Work? And if we could go to the next slide, I believe our team has that ready to play.
Are you age 18 through 64? Do you receive Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI, or Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, because of your disability? SSDI provides benefits to people with disabilities who have worked or have previously worked and paid enough into the Social Security system through payroll deduction or paying self-employment taxes. SSI makes payments to people with disabilities and who have limited income and resources. Are you interested in increasing your earning potential and finding fulfillment in the workforce? If so, Social Security's Ticket to Work program may be a good fit for you. Ticket to Work is a free and voluntary program. The program can help you decide if working is right for you and provide long-term support to help you find, keep, and advance in a job. Authorized ticket program service providers, such as employment networks or your state vocational rehabilitation agency, provide services such as career counseling, vocational rehabilitation, job placement assistance, and training. Employment networks can help with career counseling and assistance with job placement, including helping you understand how working will affect your benefits. Vocational rehabilitation agencies work with people who need more significant services to return to work or to work for the first time. This may include intensive training, benefits counseling, rehabilitation services, and education, which sometimes includes college courses. To learn more about other Social Security work incentives, see Social Security's Red Book by visiting ssa.gov/redbook. If you're interested in participating in this free and voluntary program, call us at the Ticket to Work helpline. Our team is happy to verify your eligibility and answer any questions you have. For more information, call the Ticket to Work helpline at 1-866-968-7842. For TTY, it's 1-866-833-2967, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, or visit us online at choosework.ssa.gov. For information on work incentives, visit Social Security's Red Book at ssa.gov/redbook. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Thank you so much. And just a note, if you noticed a couple internet glitches in delivery along with the draft of the captioning, the final products have all that corrected, and they'll be all available on the Choose Work website and our YouTube channel. And we look forward to sharing those in our channels, and hopefully you'll agree to share them to help increase awareness as well. Thank you. Let's move to the next slide now, please. Excellent. So now I wanted to talk to you briefly about three new success stories that we have that are available to you. The success stories starting here include one covering Jeff. Jeff is a Marine veteran who had a motorcycle accident, and he kind of went off course in his career. But he had a mindset to improvise, adapt, and overcome, and utilizing the ticket program, which he was introduced to through his state VR program. It also supported and featured the County of Genesee American Job Center. And we're pleased that Jeff is now gainfully employed full-time and has been working for a while. And as we prepare for Veterans Day next month, we'll be sure to be showcasing this success story. On the next slide, we have our most recently published success story. This is about Kushal. This was just published, and Kushal manages muscular dystrophy and has overcome a lot of challenges to keep his health care benefits as his career has progressed. You can learn more about how the Ticket to Work program helped Kushal reach both educational and employment goals that helped him, of course, become financially independent. This success story features Full Circle Employment Services, his employment network. And on the next slide, we have another success story. This one is what we call a composite success story, and it focuses on three individuals that utilized volunteerism or community service in order to support their pathways to success. So we pull from Hazel, Robert, and Jesus, who turned their volunteer work into careers with the support of the Ticket to Work program. This compilation story shares their stories and tips for others on how to seek and succeed through gaining experience through volunteering. If you are interested in sharing a success story, we'll share in just a moment where to send that request to. Now let's move to the next slide, please. As you know, we have work incentive seminars, events, or WISE webinars each month, and we promote these through our platforms, including GovDelivery. And we encourage all of you and your networks to join us for all of these on the fourth Wednesday of each month. The next WISE webinar, as it's listed here, is Ticket to Work, Supporting Access to Good Jobs for All. That Access to Good Jobs for All, of course, is National Disability Employment Awareness Month's theme this year, and that WISE webinar is on October 23rd from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We encourage you, again, to share this in your network, to have folks come and learn, especially Social Security disability beneficiaries, about the services and supports that are available through both employment networks and your state VR programs. We can register for that at choosework.ssa.gov right on the homepage there. And on the final slide for the outreach team's update, I just wanted to provide some reminders. You can connect and share our social media on Facebook at ChooseWork or on X at ChooseWorkSSA. As I mentioned, if you have stories that you would like to bring forward as potential success stories for our team to publish, you can submit those leads to stories at chooseswork.ssa.gov. We do want to remind you to not include personally identifiable information when you're sending those story leads. Just provide very generic information, and then our team will reach out to explore that further directly with you. And last, if you have blog ideas to submit, we always encourage you to do that. You can, again, email those to us at socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov. And with that, those are the communication and outreach team's updates, and I will pass this back to Keetra.
Thank you, Derek, for those communication and outreach updates. Now we'll move into our question and answer session. Next slide, please. So again, if the chat feature is disabled for this call, so you will only be able to ask your questions aloud, please do raise your hand by dialing *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you want to press *6 to unmute yourself. Please do state your first name only, your VR agency name, and ask your question. Catherine, I'll move to you. Do we have any raised hands at this time that would like to ask a question aloud?
Hi, yes, Keetra, we do. And Eugenia, you have access to your mic. If you'll click the microphone up top and unmute and ask your question.
Hi, this is Eugenia Cox. I'm with Oregon VR. I've been seeing quite a few incorrect denials that I've seen, and we've been getting a lot of there's a lot of glitches in the portal. Can somebody tell me when those glitches are going to be looked at?
Thank you, Eugenia. I'll defer to SSA.
Hey, Eugenia, this is Katie. What glitch are you referring to?
Well, there's one glitch about I just had one denied because they didn't have any benefits when they clearly had benefits, and I had to repeatedly send in information on the proof that I had that they had benefits, and that I was told that there was a glitch with the disability on a spouse. And there was also the glitches with regards to the diaries ending too soon.
Okay. Hi, Eugenia. I can talk to you about the one for the disabled spouse since I was the one that caught that one. We had a issue with the ITOPS, our payment system, pulling the query for a disabled spouse from SSA's records. So we had a release back in 2020, and it was fixed. We don't get too many of those, but we have found it. And so we have contacted the systems analyst, and they need to have the developer look at it to fix it. So I don't know when that will be fixed, but they are looking into that. Again, we don't know if there's an issue until it happens. So I guess you will have to continue contacting the VR help desk so that we can look into it. And for the actual case now, I would say if you have a disabled spouse in the future that you know that the beneficiary is receiving benefits on a disabled spouse record, please add that to the remark. That way I can pull all those cases because they do need a manager override to process it.
This was an SSI case.
Yes, Title 16 SSI disabled spouse was not pulled from SSA's records onto ITOPS, where we look at our queries. All of the information in SSA's records are pulled into ITOPS, which is the actual software that we used to process payments. It pulls everything live and real time. Unfortunately, disabled spouse is not pulling into the SSR record in ITOPS for SSI. So what we have to do is we have to do a bypass for the SSR record. And with that, I have to do a management override, but it is not working at this time. So systems is aware of the issue and a developer is looking into it. And we will let you know as soon as possible when that is fixed.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Candace. Thank you, Eugenia. And we have another raised hand, Donna. You have access to your audio. If you'll unmute and ask your question, please.
Hi, this is Donna from Kentucky VR. I was trying to look at those denial codes that you had listed on the reconsideration policy, and some of those looked like earnings-related denials. Can we look at those again?
Absolutely. We'll turn it over to Keitra. And if you'll go back, what slide was that, Keitra?
That, I believe, was slide 7. I don't have a presentation up in front of me. My apologies.
Okay. It was slide 8.
Slide 8. Rose, if you could go back to slide 8, please. Thank you.
So those are saying they should not be submitted, but that would be, but they are earnings. Most of those are earnings related.
Hi, Donna. This is Raquel, and I had a feeling that this was going to be a question. I think it's because of how the second bullet says, if your claim was denied with the codes below, you should not submit another reconsideration. Mm-hmm. I believe what Keitra was saying was if you've already submitted a reconsideration and it was denied based off of these reasons, do not submit another one.
Correct. Okay. That's correct. And I didn't emphasize it the proper way, but yes. Thank you, Raquel. That's correct.
Sure.
Okay. That was just a little confusing to me. Thanks for clarifying.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
Yes, thank you for that question.
Thank you, Keitra. And we have another raised hand, last number 2888. You have access to your mic. If you'll press star 6 to unmute.
Hi, this is David from Virginia. I just want to follow up to Donna's question. If we have submitted a reconsideration for earnings and we are showing wages, will you hold that reconsideration until your system catches up? Thank you.
Thank you.
I will refer that question to SSA, please. And again, that question was, would you hold a claim until the system catches up to show those earnings in the system?
Teacher, this is Kitty. I just want to make sure also that I'm hearing the question right from David. So, mm-hmm. David, you're saying you got a denial for an earnings-related reason. You submitted a reconsideration. Are you saying, are we going to hold your reconsideration until the earnings show up? Or are you saying, what? Like, I think I'm a little lost in the steps here because we are giving you 365 days so that you wait for the earnings to appear before you resubmit. I want to make sure I'm hearing it correctly.
Right. So, Katie, we always have this lag between what we see, what you see. So we've waited, we are putting in our reconsideration and showing maybe an additional quarter of wages, and that data you don't have yet. Are you going to hold that, knowing that we're saying we have it till this date, to make sure before denying it again?
No, we are not going to hold it. We want you to wait to submit it. That's why we're giving you 365 days. We want you to wait until you're sure it's there. And that's what we're hoping Versa would help you out, right? That you would see on Versa that we have the same earnings that you have, and then you would submit the reconsideration.
Okay.
Anybody else necessarily wants to jump in? But that's...
No, you're right. And just to piggyback off of that, hi, David. Also remember that we have to have the earnings verified on our side. So if it's something that you're submitting and let's say it has W-2s, documentation that we know is verified, that's one thing. But if you're submitting, just like you said, you have additional quarter of earnings that SSA does not have and that we have not sent out via Versa, like Katie was saying, that's definitely something that you should hold on to, which is why we give the full 365 days for you to be able to submit a reconsideration based off of earnings.
David, you'll have to unmute. Press star 6.
Thank you. That makes sense. I just wanted to clarify for our internal process for this.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Raquel. Thank you, David. And we'll go to the next raised hand. We have Eugenia. Eugenia, your mic is active. If you'll unmute to ask your question, please.
Hello, it's Eugenia Cox from Oregon VR again. When we're looking at the diaries, and we have the due dates, we've been copying the diary and the submission showing that it went through okay. But I've been noticing on some of the diaries that after we have done everything that we were asked to do, they may have added something like, oh, well, we didn't get all the pages, even though we confirmed that it was received. Is there any way we can get some sort of a prompt? Because we're having to look at re-looking at diaries that we think are complete. So, but there's no prompt to show us that
maybe now we just submitted the signature page of the plan. And then now 3 days later, it's been selected for a PBR. So we just have to keep looking at these diaries over and over, even though we think that they're completed.
Hey, Eugenia, it's Raquel. I'm sorry, Catherine, were you going to say something?
I was just going to defer it to you.
were you going to pass it on to me?
I was, yes, ma'am.
Eugenia, it's based off of whatever the issue may be. So it's a matter of you submit all the information, or so you think, and then the technician reviews the information. It may be that there's not a signed IPE, or like you were saying, you may on your side think that 20 pages went through, the technician goes to review it, and they're only seeing 7 of the pages. The other 13 are blank, or whatever the issue is. There's nothing that we can do on our end until the technician actually reviews the information. We don't have anything that's going to prompt us to say, hey, Oregon General, 5 of your pages are blank, until the technician takes the time to go through and review that information, which is why they're required to go back in and put another diary stating this is what's happening, this is what's missing. If it's a matter of there's no signed IPE or something like that, that will get denied because, you know, and that might not be your example, but I'm just stating for everyone on the call, it's a matter of you submit a unsigned IPE, all IPEs are required to be signed. So that is something that will get denied. Unfortunately, there's no way for us to prompt you before the technician actually has the time to go through and review what is faxed in.
So if just for practice, once we submit it and think we have everything that we need within a week or so, you think they'll look at it so that we know that after we submit it to keep looking for a specific amount of time? I know they've been processing them a whole lot quicker than they used to. So is there some sort of a process you think would work for us to recheck those, even though we think we're done with them?
I would, if it's something that still remains in diary, then I suggest just especially after a week or two, yes, keep looking in the diary just to confirm that nothing additional has been placed in there as far as your comments. I'm sorry, not your comments, the technician's comments. Can I give you an exact date or day time, you know, to look back? No. And I know, especially like with the larger VRs, it's even harder to continue to go back and look at that information, but it's the only way other than if you're going to wait to receive another notice in the mail, because that will happen as well. Other than that, you know, you do get the confirmation, you know, showing, hey, a fax has been received. But again, that's just saying that was received on our end. We don't know exactly what we're looking at until a technician goes in and actually lays eyes on it.
Okay. So I might just keep going in until it's actually processed through.
Don't drive yourself crazy, but kind of, sort of.
Hi, this is Candace. I just wanted to add a little something else, that the PVRs will not be denied until the 76th day. So if you submit all the documentation that was required off the PowerPoint and that's in the VR provider handbook, then you shouldn't have to keep redirecting the case for the additional information. If all the information is submitted at the first time, that means proof of payment for the direct cost that you requested, authorization, warrant numbers, procurement numbers for authorizations, all of the required documents, a PVR notice, case notes, signed IPE by both the counselor and the beneficiary, and all proof of payment. Again, we will keep diaring up until 75 days. The 76th day, the claim will be denied. So just remember, when you are submitting a claim, and this goes for all VRs, take a look at that PowerPoint that TPM went over for the VR call back in May. All the information you need is there, as well as the VR provider handbook. If you're proactive and you have all this information ahead of time, then your claim should not be denied. And if it is, that's when you send in a reconsideration and then we will follow up on that and see what we need. But if you have all the information that we request, there should be no reason why your case will be denied. Remember, yeah, this is just an audit. This is an audit that we have performed. We need all documentation because even though you are allowed the payment, we need validation of all the direct services that were provided and know that the beneficiary was being assisted through by you and the counselor the time that they had filed a claim with the VR.
Yeah, and I'm not questioning the process or anything. I was just questioning the changing in the diary and how long we should possibly keep looking just to kind of get an idea of, you know, our process to try to just keep looking at it in case it changes.
Yes, they will. You will have the notes in the portal when it says diary. Yeah. So just kind of, you know, as Raquel said, keep looking at it to see if you have everything. But if you do submit everything that you need right off the bat, you won't have this issue. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Candace.
You're
welcome.
Hi, Eugenia. I'm not sure if you can hear me. This is Shada. So you are a state that you do your due diligence to do everything that you can. So if you want to, within 40 days of the process, say, hey, I submitted everything. I'm just checking. We do follow up on those emails. If you sent it to the help desk or you sent it to Raquel, or for those of us who work on special projects, if you've sent it to us and we go, hey, we had needed this documentation, you know, is it here? You can also follow up and say, I don't want to get to the point where I'm at the end point and I'm denied because I'm missing something. Is there anything that you can do? And that also is a part of our process because we are doing our best to try to make sure that you do get paid. This is cost reimbursement. Yeah. So we are trying our best to ensure the payment. So if you send a message to the help desk or those who are on special projects, we say, hey, you know, we need this evidence. We're still missing this. And you can alert us because we have a lot of claims coming in. And somebody from the help desk will say, okay, we'll get with the technician or we'll investigate. Just so that you're not at the end where it's like, oh, I got denied, and I honestly believed I had done everything I should have.
Oh, yeah, the help desk has always been very responsive, you know. But I just want to know so I'm not just sending you over and over again, what's happened with this claim, what's happened with this claim. I just want to know if I need to keep checking because I did notice that sometimes it changes. So, but yeah. No, I,
always,
every time
always
I
check.
Send it.
We appreciate that, too. Always check. Yeah. And, you know, as long as it's not 800 times. But if you say once or twice, a few weeks ago I did this, do you have everything? We would more than appreciate that so we can do what we need to do on our end.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raquel, Candace, and Shada for responding to that question. Catherine, I believe we do have another raised hand. Can you please announce who that is?
We sure do, Keitra. And we have Susan. Susan, you have access to your mic if you would unmute and ask your question.
Hello. My question is for Raquel. It's Susan from Massachusetts Blind. We recently had a case that we submitted, and it was denied. It was a client that he started his SGA in July of 2023, so mid-year. And it was denied for not providing wage documentation per quarter. So we wrote to the help desk and asked if we could provide his W-2 from 2023, and we were told no. Raquel, you mentioned a few minutes ago that W-2. So is that acceptable documentation of earnings, the W-2?
Hi, Susan. Yes, it is. And I actually remember this specific case. I think I remember it. But when you submit a W-2, I don't think it was a W-2. Maybe I'm getting you confused with some another VR that I believe submitted pay stubs, not the full W-2s. So if that's, I may be getting you confused, and if that's the case, if you could email me directly so I can look into that one. I think I'm getting yours confused with another one where they did submit pay stubs, but they didn't submit 9 out of 12 months of pay stubs. They submitted 2 pay stubs or 3 pay stubs. That's not going to give us what we need as far as to prove that this beneficiary had 9 out of 12 months of earnings or 3 out of 4 quarters of earnings. So if you have a different situation than what I'm speaking of, if you would send me an email directly and I'll circle back with Sharday, who is the manager over the help desk. We'll both look into it and then follow up with you.
So your memory is perfect. We did submit pay stubs from July through December, which showed earnings to date. And then we submitted some pay stubs in the beginning of 2024 to show those 9 months. And we didn't, when it was denied because of quarters, the help desk told us they couldn't look at year-to-date earnings. When we offered to do a W-2, we were told that wasn't documentation. They didn't exactly say that. They sent us a list, and a W-2 wasn't on it because we didn't want to go back and bother this client for weekly pay stubs. We just thought, oh, if he can get us his W-2. So we can go back to that client and do that, you know, to make sure that if it is an acceptable claim that we get the reconsideration for it.
Absolutely.
No, you're spot on. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your question, Shelley and Renee, or Kale rather, for your response. Do we have any other raised hands at this time, Catherine?
We have one more raised hand. We have Shelley. Shelley, you have access to your mic if you'll unmute and ask your question.
Mine's not so much a question as maybe a suggestion. I'm looking at 2 different diaries, and I believe, because I didn't take an initial screenshot of them, but I believe there might be some secondary comment put in that maybe I need to look at a little deeper. So along with what Eugenia was talking about, do we have to keep going back and checking? Would it be possible for the technician to maybe put second, a 2 and second, or a secondary so that we can quickly look at it and say, oh, there's an additional comment there. We need to pay a little more attention to that one. Rather than, I can see all my faxes have been sent in. I don't know if there's a secondary comment on here. So it was just kind of, whether it be an asterisk and the next comment that's added when the technician puts something in, something that kind of just jumps out at, for us that says, hey, there's an additional note here than what was previously put. Thanks.
Shelley, thank you for that comment question. I know that the technicians do, when they go in to enter a new comment, they do specifically identify what document is not, you know, still has not been received. So that's kind of one way. And we do that fairly soon after you submit any additional faxes, because we do check that fax date to see if something additional was submitted since the last time the case was put in diary. SSA, did you have anything you wanted to add to that in reference to Shelley's comment?
I do, Keitra, thank you. And just piggybacking off what Keitra said, when the technician initially puts the claim into diary, it's a more general statement placed as far as the comment is concerned. And what Keitra was saying is once they've reviewed that claim, if they see that there's one thing that may still be missing, they may, when they go back and add the comment, they are being more specific about what they're still waiting for. So that's a difference, Shelley, in regards to the first diary that's left with the comment as opposed to any additional after that. That's just the FYI.
Thank you. One particular that I'm looking at is just as proof of payment for each direct cost item. And I believe my entire fact shows that on the authorizations with payments. So I don't see something specific I need to follow up on. Is that one that then contacting them, the help desk, to get some more clarification?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it may be something that the technician missed or that you're missing, or basically you need more information, more detail, and the help desk will be able to look at the claim and follow up with you on exactly what the technician is still in need of. Thank you.
And Shelley, this is Shada. I'm going to agree with Raquel. Like we said, no, if Eugenia, you know, emails us one or two times and says, hey, I did all I was supposed to do, is there anything else? We prefer that, because then we say, oh, this is what's happening and this is what's happening, because we know we have special claims and PVRs and all kinds of things. And then we say, you gave us everything, but you missed the IEP, or you gave us the, you know, approvals, but where is the agreement for this plan? Like, we need something else. And we'll say that if you send a message to us and not wait until, oh, it gets to the 45th day. If you do it on the 35th or the 40th day and say, hey, I just rechecked. I made myself a note. I rechecked. I did all I was supposed to do. Can you see what I'm missing on, you know, my end? Because it looks like I'm complete. Is there anything else you need? Then we will get back to you within 24 to 48 hours to say, hey, we need more information or something, before you get to the point where you're denied or where you're just like, I don't know what else I'm missing. I clearly did what I was supposed to do.
Thank you for that. We do have another raised hand. I believe it's Cassiopeia. Catherine, can you go ahead and unmute her so she can go ahead and answer the question?
Yes. Cassiopeia, you're unmuted. You can unmute yourself to ask your question.
Hey, I go by Cassie unless I'm in trouble, and I am from Washington VR. On that last question, so let's say something is added to the request. Do we get, because I'm pretty new at this, would I have to ask for a new fax cover sheet, or will there be an updated one in the system and I need to refax the whole packet? How is the best way to proceed with that?
Hi, you definitely don't need to refax everything. You do need to create a new fax cover sheet, and then whatever the technician is requesting, that's all you need to request. I'm sorry, that's all you need to fax. Do not do double the work by going back in and refaxing everything if they're not asking for everything.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We have a few more moments before the call is ending, so we're going to conclude the question and answer session for today. But certainly if you have any additional questions, you can send those to the VR help desk. Rose, if you could go down to, I believe, the second to last slide. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Okay. Wait for a few moments to get the presentation back up. There you go. Thank you. So our next call will be on January the 14th, 2025, the first call of the new year, from 1 to 2 p.m., and that will be via Teams. Please send all VR call training suggestions to the VR help desk, and please send those suggestions by December the 13th, 2024, and we will try to add that into the slide. That's why we asked for it so far in advance. So if we need to get, say, an additional speaker from SSA to provide any updates or any training to you all, we can have that time to do that. So thank you all for joining today's call on behalf of SSA and TPM. You all have a great rest of your day. Take care. This call has been concluded.